electricity? The thunderstorms carry energy from below into the upper atmosphere, right? Guardedly, Muzorawa conceded. Right? Jabbing a finger at the screen, Grant said, The thunderstorms come in cycles. Both their frequency and intensity shifts every few days. Earth days, that is. Well, how could they shift like that? Smiling now, Grant said, I think it's a tidal effect. Tidal? It seems to correlate with the positions of the four big moons. Look, he pointed to the curves again. When all four of them are on the same side of the planet, storm activity peaks on that side of the planet. Muzorawa squinted at the screen for long, silent moments. At last, he asked, How reliable is this data? Some of it goes back a quarter century, Grant admitted. I even have points from the earliest remote missions before this station was built. Tidal effects. Muzorawa shook his head. Hard to believe. But there they are, Grant insisted. Small, but definitely there. How in the name of the prophet could tidal effects influence the thunderstorms? With a small wave of one hand, Grant replied, There might be electromagnetic forces involved, as well as gravitic. Electromagnetic? Wide-eyed incredulity was plain on his normally somber face. Io's flux tube, Grant suggested, waving his hands. The other Galilean moons cut Jupiter's magnetic field lines too, don't they? Muzorawa settled back in his chair, deep in thought. Without thinking consciously about it, Grant punched up a real-time view of Jupiter on the big wall screen above the desks. The planet loomed over them, huge and awesome, clouds racing and swirling, flashes of lightning flickering like fireflies along the terminator and into the night side of the planet's immense bulk. Fireflies, Grant thought. More like hydrogen bombs. Each lightning bolt released megatons of energy. With growing enthusiasm, Muzorawa said, This is very interesting, Grant. Extremely interesting. I'll have to check the records as far back as we can go, all the way back to the Galileo probe if necessary. I'll check the records, Grant said. You have enough to do over the next few weeks. With a reluctant nod, Muzorawa agreed. Then he asked, Have you seen any tidal effect in the red spot? Grant was surprised by the question. You're not planning to go into the spot, are you? God forbid, Muzorawa raised both hands. I only wondered if the spot changes in any predictable way. There's just not enough data from inside the spot, Grant said. I've got a scattering of data from more than 5 years ago, but even then, the probes didn't last long enough to send back much. They stopped sending probes into the spot when Wo took over the station, Muzorawa explained. He said it was a waste of time and effort. He's right. That's an awfully powerful cyclone down there. Yes, that's true enough. Still, you're not going near the spot, are you? Grant asked again, staring at the view of the giant planet. No, of course not. We'll be on the opposite side of the planet. How deep do you plan to go? Deep enough to find whatever those things are that we saw swimming on the first mission. Do you really think they're alive? Grant asked. Muzorawa turned from the wall screen to look at Grant. How high is up? He asked. Grant understood. Don't ask useless questions. The first mission had detected objects in the ocean. This new mission would try to determine what those objects might be. Until they got more data, questions about the nature of the objects could not be answered. But then Muzorawa nodded ever so slightly, barely a dip of his chin. I believe they are alive, yes, but that is only a belief, a matter of faith. Or perhaps it would be better to say a matter of hope. Until we obtain hard evidence, that is all we have to go on, our individual faith, our hopes, our fears. Fears? Oh yes, fears. Muzorawa pointed to the big wall screen. There are many people who fear what we might discover underneath those clouds. Grant blinked with surprise. Who? Nobody here on the station, is there? Probably not, Muzorawa replied. Wo has screened all the personnel here rather thoroughly. He hesitated, thinking over his next words, then said, He was afraid of you at first, you know. He was afraid of me? Smiling, certainly. He feared you were an agent from the Zealots, come to spy on his work. The Zealots? The ultra-conservatives. They are always among us, those who fear new knowledge. Nearly 1,000 years ago, they destroyed a great Persian astronomer and mathematician, Omar Khayyam. Omar? I thought he was a poet. Muzorawa shook his head slowly. His quatrains were a hobby. He was a scientist. He understood that the Earth goes around the sun 3 centuries before Copernicus. For that, the mullahs destroyed him. To this day, no one knows where he lies buried. Ultra-conservatives, Grant muttered. Zealots. In my part of the world, they call themselves the Sword of Islam. You have them among your new morality, don't you? But I'm not one of them. Dr. Wo wasn't sure of you. That was why he gave us orders to keep sensitive information from you. But why would the new morality, or the zealots, or whatever, want to spy on him? Grant hated himself for saying it, for lying to his friend and mentor. But I'm not a zealot, he told himself. I'm not working for fanatics, I'm not. Muzorawa gripped Grant by the shoulder. My friend, there are powerful forces among the zealots that fear new knowledge. They do not appreciate our studies of extraterrestrial life forms. I know some of the more conservative believers are uncomfortable with the idea of alien life, Grant admitted, but if they are uncomfortable with alien bacteria and lichen, Muzorawa interrupted, how do you think they feel about meeting intelligent aliens? Intelligent? The possibility exists. Grant's inside felt suddenly hollow. Intelligent creatures? You mean here? On Jupiter? The possibility exists, Muzorawa repeated. But there's no evidence. You haven't seen any evidence. Dr. Wo still does not trust you as fully as that. The things you saw in the ocean? He believes, Muzorawa said. Intelligent? There isn't enough data even to confirm that they are living organisms. But the director believes they may be not only living, but intelligent. Understanding flooded into Grant's mind. That's why he brought in the dolphins and Sheena. To study non-human intelligence, yes. To help us in the effort to communicate with the Jovians. All this based on his belief? On his hunch, his guess? Belief is a very powerful force, my friend. More powerful than you can imagine. Copernicus believed the Earth revolves around the sun. Maxwell believed light is a form of electromagnetic radiation based on nothing more than the coincidence of numbers in his equations. And the zealots believe that God created us in his image. Extraterrestrial life threatens that belief. And intelligent extraterrestrial life demolishes it. Grant countered, but we've known about the Martians for decades now. They are extinct, Muzorawa said, and they can be explained away by the faithful. With a nod, Grant conceded the point. His own father firmly believed that the long-vanished Martians had actually come to Earth and that Mars had been the original Garden of Eden. All the archaeological evidence showed that such an idea was nonsense. It was impossible. But that is what the faithful believed, what they wanted to believe, Grant knew. Intelligent extraterrestrial life, Muzorawa went on, that in no way looks like us, is a frightening idea for many people in many religions. God created man in his image, Grant muttered. If we find intelligent life that does not resemble us, it disproves scripture. Grant concluded. That is why the conservatives everywhere have opposed space exploration. That is why they opposed using telescopes to search for signals from extraterrestrial civilizations. And Wo thought I might be one of them just because I'm faithful to my religion. I think he trusts you now. Grant nodded uncertainly. Maybe.